Welcome to this MVA module on how to automate workloads with System Center Orchestrator. In this module, we'll be focusing on the integration between Orchestrator and System Center Operations Manager, which is used to monitor pretty much anything in the data center, from the metal, physical hardware, all the way up to hypervisors, servers, hosts, and applications even running inside those virtual machines. I'm Simon Perryman. I'm joined once again by Gordon McKenna, and I'm gonna let Gordon go ahead and cover the overview.
Thank you, Simon. So one of my favorite management packs, by the way, as I used to be a operations manager guy back in the day. And actually one of the more useful ones, I think, particularly if you kind of run operations manager and you want to kind of hook it into other aspects of your environment. So we're going to have an overview of this integration pack. We're going to talk about registration and deployment. We're going to look at the connection configuration activities. We're going to have a little demo where I'm actually going to insert an event into operations manager, and then I'm going to update that event. We're going to look at the best practices around deploying this. And then I'm going to show you how you can acquire that out on the web by kind of searching for certain links. So let's take a look at the integration pack. So it's designed to kind of automate tasks that you might do day to day in Operations Manager. So actually there is no way in Operations Manager of creating a new alert from another source. So it's a great way if you want to use Operations Manager as a manager of all managers, for example, you could integrate it with all of your other management products in the environment and push alerts directly up to the SCOM console or Operations Manager console via Orchestrator. Also updating alerts, you know, if we're in that ticketing scenario, not only do you want to update alerts, but you also want to, not only do you want to create alerts, but you also might want to update them with information from your help desk product. Monitor the health state is another thing. You know, we've done another course, Simon, where we've talked about health states and that kind of trip switch between red, yellow, and green. So we can monitor the health state of an object and take an action based on that health state of object. Also as well, you know, a common thing that we might want to do is start and stop maintenance mode on monitors objects. So, you know, a classic example is we might have a run book, which is rebooting a terminal server farm, for example. We don't want SCOM to be alerted or operations manager to be alerted when that server farm's rebooted. So as part of that script, we can actually start maintenance mode on a group within operations manager that contains those objects that that are involved in that maintenance task. One other thing that I do want to say, which is, you know, we're talking about here interacting with Operations Manager from Orchestrator, but Orchestrator has a very good a web REST API called the OREST API, and actually you can access runbooks directly from Operations Manager through this OREST API. So we could have a recovery task, for example, in Operations Manager that that actually fires on a monitor flipping state. And then we could go out to the OREST API and execute a runbook that way. So, you know, two ways, which is really your preference. You can either execute these runbooks from Operations Manager, or what we're going to show you today is how you can execute them from the Orchestrator side of things. So registering and deploying, pretty simple. We go to the deployment manager and we just carry out a couple of key tasks. Register the integration pack against our Orchestrator management server. Deploy the integration pack to the runbook servers and runbook designers that we have deployed within the organization. And then we just confirm the integration pack has been registered and deployed successfully in the environment. Connection configuration, it's another drop down from the options menu. We choose the SC2012 Operations Manager entry. We then add a new connection, we give it a name. We then enter the following properties for the connection. Username, password, a server domain, a polling interval, and a reconnection interval if we drop connection with the Operations Manager server.
One thing I just want to note specifically, those two intervals that were added, those were only added in the 2012 SP1 update. So if you're still running 2012 RPM, you would not see those in the actual connection setting. So just be aware of a slight difference with that SP1 update.
Okay, thanks for that, Simon. And another thing that you'll find some of these runbooks have is test connections. So from that connection point, I can just go forward, access the API, and test that connection is working correctly before I go ahead and kind of deploy my runbooks. Multiple connections can be created for different security permissions. Again, I have different types of users in Operations Manager that have access to different types of data. If I've got a SQL team and I only want the SQL team to be able to access SQL data, then, you know, I would only give them permissions in Operations Manager that relate to those kind of SQL objects that they're coming in and accessing. Activities, as I mentioned already, we can create an alert. We can also get an alert from Operations Manager and take an action off that. I can get a monitor or and even get a monitor state or a monitor alert as well. Also, as mentioned, I can start and stop maintenance mode, as well as kind of updating alert. And we're going to show some of these in the demo. So, should we jump in and look at the demo?
Yeah, let's do that. Now, while you switch over, one thing that you may have noticed as we've gone through other modules, when opening up a specific activity, is this option for optional parameters. Now, usually you'll see two, three, maybe half a dozen parameters that are required that are just listed, and then that button at the bottom for optional. Basically, the ones that you see there, they're required. You should expect to complete them even if you leave a default value. The optional ones are just additional configuration settings you have. Now, to kind of think about maybe an equivalent in PowerShell, you could think about this as required parameters versus optional parameters. If you skip them, doesn't matter, but you still have to make sure you hit those required ones or else you're going to get an error.
Yeah, thanks for that, Simon. So let's take a look at Operations Manager and Orchestrator. So I've got a simple runbook here, which is actually going to create a new alert in Operations Manager and just output the alert ID. So once we've done that, we're going to grab that unique ID from Operations Manager and output that to a file. So if I look at the create alert, and you can see here that I've got some properties. I'm looking for an alert that has a, going to create an alert that has a priority of high. I'm going to create alert as a severity of critical. Now, we did talk about this in the Operations Manager course, but severities in Operations Manager are informational warning and critical. Typically, a critical is a service down issue. Warning is a degrading issue that might be leading to a service down. And informational is just plain information for you. But a priority is something different. So I'll give you the example there. A database being down in my dev environment or a database being offline in my dev environment is a critical issue. A database being offline in my production environment is a critical issue. Only my production environment has a very high priority where my dev and test environment has a very low priority. So a way of categorizing alerts that we've got within there. We can see that the name that I'm going to create has an alert generated by Orchestrator. And there also are other fields that I might want to add. So I might want to add an owner to this, so it's automatically allocated to someone. I might put a description in. And we can also populate some of the custom fields that you find in the last tab when you're looking at the alert information in there. And your custom fields, examples of where they're used, there might be a particular application team or a particular shift that this is relevant to. Or, you know, I've got one customer, for example, in the US that kind of has a team on the north side of the US and a team on the south side. And you know, each team is responsible for a certain amount of servers that are in the organization. So it's a way of categorizing and classifying. So once we've done that alert, we're actually going to take the output from that alert. And you can see there, I've got my little line here. So the create alert return success. I'm going to actually take from the data bus the ID from the create alert. You can see that there. I'm actually going to automatically populate that into an alert ID text file so I can see what that is. Now, this could be a database. So, you know, Simon and I were chatting about this earlier on. Something that you could do is create the alert, populate that data to a database, and then you might have another product like a help desk product that's coming in and looking at that alert ID or looking at the status of that alert and might take that information and populate another ticket in another area with that. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to go ahead and run this with my runbook tester. So just bear with me a sec. Make this small so I can actually see the top of the screen. So I'm going to check that out with my runbook tester. And I get my little runbook test screen coming up. And what I'm actually going to do with this is I'm actually going to run that so we can see the output. And you can see me connecting there to the Operations Manager instance. And that's going to create the alert, and that's outputting to my alert output file. And hopefully we can see in a second this alert being created in my console. There we have it. That's my alert generated by my Orchestrator runbook. And if I you know, look into this. I can see my information. It's critical, priority high. Not much information in there, but we can see that it was actually activated there by the system. And I've got the alert context of how we access that. And you can see that an alert generated by Orchestrate. So I know where that's come from. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take this one step further. So I now want to update this particular alert. So I'm going to go to my text file. And again, this could be a database that I'm putting these entries in. And I'm going to basically grab some information from that. And if I actually just go and show you this this text file. So I'm just going to go full screen on that again. And I'm going to go onto my local disk and show you this alert ID. You can see that I've got two lines in here. So I'm actually just going to grab that first line in there. And I'm going to execute that. So again, I'm going to run my little runbook tester within here. And I'm actually going to run through that again. And you can see there, that's actually grabbed that activity details. It's gone into my log, and it's actually now updated my alert. So if I go back to Operations Manager now, and you can actually see there, that's my second alert there. You can see that my first alert, which was the first line in my log, has actually now been resolved, right? So I've actually gone to the resolution and fixed that particular one. So again, interaction with my alerts in my environment very clearly. And you know, if I do, I can have a view there which only shows me new alerts and takes a resolved one out of the view. So I've actually created an alert there, and then I've updated that alert with some certain information in there. And I, you know, while I'm actually in here, I kind of wanted to show you a couple of other elements. I'm just gonna go full screen on that again. And I'm going to go back into Orchestrator. And I have actually in my little samples pack here got some other examples of things that we might do. So I've actually got a website here where I'm actually collecting some data from Operations Manager. And I'm looking for a resolution state that actually equals a DinnerNow database failure. DinnerNow is my little test application. Once I find that, I'm actually going to go and create a change template. And it's very important when you do runbooks that you take into account your ITIL processes in the organization. So rather than me automatic taking action, I'm going to create a change a template. I'm then going to get the computer object from the website path. I'm then going to place the computer into maintenance mode. So actually this error represents that my database has become corrupt and it's gone offline. I'm going to place that computer in maintenance mode so I no longer get alerts. And then I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for change authorization from my change ticket. Now, once I get that change authorization and once that's approved, I'm going to automatically go and get the protection group details for that database. I'm going to get a recovery point, and I'm going to recover my SQL database to that database server. So that's actually an action where I'm picking up a critical service down issue. I'm creating an ITIL change request or change record. I'm placing the computer in maintenance mode. I'm waiting for that approval, and then I'm actually going to restore that database using my Data Protection Manager. So a real kind of world runbook there that shows you a number of different elements as IT governance and other elements within there, just to kind of show you a bit of a variation on the theme. Okay, so that's my demo concluded. Just a few best practices around this as well. Again, you know, there might be scenarios where, as I mentioned earlier, you need to create different connections for security permissions. Again, if you've got a dev and test SCOM environment as well as a production environment, there's two examples of connections that you might need to make. Ensure that the credentials specified in your connection are successful. Click that little test tab when you create the connection earlier on just to make sure that we're properly connecting. Test your runbooks thoroughly in the runbook tester and in a sandpit environment before you deploy to production. And make sure that you do error handling so you can actually understand what's gone wrong in your runbooks when there's a particular failure in there. Finally, let's look at where we can acquire these management packs from. Well, a quick search in Bing will take you to the download site for the integration packs. And we also have Scorch Center / IP list, which will actually not list only the Microsoft management packs, but also third-party computer management packs. A really good resource that both myself, my customers, and my team use regularly.
Thanks, Gordon. That was a great demo, by the way. Very cool. Love to see the integration here and how flexible it is, because what I guess I really kind of see here compared to other integration packs is there's kind of a two-way relationship between these. You know, information gets passed one way, gets sent back the other way, and both kind of systems can go target, respond, and react to each other. So a great solution there. With that, that wraps up our module as we take a look at integration with Operations Manager. Join us in our next module as we'll be taking a look at integration with Orchestrator and System Center Service Manager.